Welcome to the Klamath Tribes Podcast. I'm Ken Smith, and joining me today is Mark Buettner, the Ambodad director, and on his way to retirement. This is last week. How does it feel to say, I'm retiring?
It's a surreal feeling. I am pleased to have had the opportunity to work for the tribe, and at age 71, still in good health, I'm looking forward to some new adventures with my lovely girlfriend.
What kind of adventures are we talking about?
Well, we like to hike and camp and explore. She's interested in nature as well, so you know, we're gonna be enjoying the outdoors and visiting a lot of natural areas in the western U.S. and, you know, probably pick up some hobbies like sailing. So that's something I'm looking forward to.
Staying around the area?
I'll be moving up to the Portland area where she lives, but we'll still be maintaining my residence here in Chiloquin.
So let's look back on this illustrious career of yours as you began in the U.S. Forest Service 40 years ago, Colorado State University, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, Fish and Game, 30 years with the Fed's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, all the way back to college. The inspiration of your education and to entered this field of biology. What was it that drove you?
Well, as a youngster, my family enjoyed camping and visiting natural areas, national parks, and you know, I enjoyed fishing and being outdoors. So I was looking for a profession where I could help with the protection and restoration of the natural resources, you know, fisheries, wildlife, et cetera. And so, you know, also had some good teachers in school that kind of inspired me to go into this field.
You were first introduced to the Klamath Basin 53 years ago during a summer vacation, you write in your bio here, when you graduated from high school and camped at Rocky Point. And that was the start of your infatuation with this region and basin?
Yeah, it's quite ironic. I grew up in Southern California and just happened to have a vacation to this area and was very impressed and attracted to the natural beauty of the Klamath Basin. And, you know, fortunately had the opportunity to come back and work in the area for, you know, almost 30 years for both the you know, federal agencies and the tribes.
Chuam and Coptu suckers seems to have been one of your focal points. A species that you saw was endangered. It was listed as endangered in 1988, 2 years after the Klamath tribes ended harvesting them in 1986. Going back to the beginning of the suckers, you really have a perspective of it from when they were thriving to now when they're endangered.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was first invited to the Klamath area by the Klamath tribes in the late 80s. And having had experience with a similar species called the Kwiwi in Pyramid Lake, Nevada, being a kind of a sucker expert, was invited to the Klamath when, you know, in the late 80s when the Chuam and Coptu were in very low numbers, and was able to come and assist the tribe and others to try to better understand why they were in such low number and what were some of the limiting factors affecting their abundance. And so I spent a couple of years in 1987 and 88, working closely with the Klamath tribes, including a young Don Gentry, you know, now a your former tribal chairman and a employee of the Natural Resources Department. And you know, we learned a lot about the needs of these species and their threats. And so unfortunately, over the last 30 years after the, you know, or 30 or more years after they were listed, you know, they continue to be in poor health. And, you know, we still have a ways to go to be able to bring them back to recovery and to harvestable levels for the Klamath tribal members.
When it comes to the Chuam and Koptu suckers, I don't think there's anybody I could talk to that has more knowledge and history of studying these fish. For our audience, can you just enlighten us with what you've learned from the first time you started studying them to the point we are now?
Yeah, Ken, the what are kind of unique about these species is that they are a long-lived species with a high reproductive capacity. So if the environmental conditions are adequate, then they should do quite well. And from my experience working with Kwiwi, when we identified the critical limiting factors, that they rebounded from just a few hundred individuals to the millions today. In that situation, the limiting factors were the flow in the Truckee River to provide for spawning habitat and also allowing for them to get out of the lake. Now, with the Chuam and Koptu, the threats that we had to overcome with them is, you know, they're dependent on habitats both in the lake and in the river and environment. So in the river environment, we found that, you know, they typically spawn in the springtime in gravel cobble type habitats. And one thing we identified is that the Chiloquin Dam, located just a few miles up from the lake, was impacting their passage. So that was one of the restoration actions that we completed in removing the dam to allow the fish up to migrate upstream. Other conditions that we identified was that there were major numbers of fish that were entrained at the Klamath Irrigation Project, the A Canal, down at the south end of the lake, which was affecting the survival of the young fish. And the, you know, so eventually a fish screen was put in there. We also identified that marsh habitats were very important for, rearing of the young suckers. And around Upper Klamath Lake, most of the wetlands that provided habitat for the Chuam and Koptu were converted to agriculture. So over the last 30 years, a number of wetland, former wetlands have been reconverted back to wetlands. And one of the larger ones currently underway is the Agency Barnes property on around Upper Klamath Lake. But one of the biggest threats that we have identified, which is really the gorilla in the room, is the water quality conditions in Upper Klamath Lake that are highly degraded due to over a century of mismanagement of the watershed, forestry practices, agricultural practices, grazing, that have led to high levels of sediment and nutrients that are flowing into Klamath Lake, which cause major algal blooms in the summertime, which causes poor water quality conditions, low oxygen, high pH, high ammonia, which leads to the mortality of the younger age classes. And so that is the biggest threat that we still have to tackle in the system. And of course, that is not something that can happen quickly. It takes a long period of time to reverse the degradation that has occurred over a long period of time. But fortunately, There is a major push to do restoration work in the watershed, and you know, I'm really excited about the Klamath tribes and the Ombudot Department having a restoration team that is participating in that restoration and providing leadership to improve the health of the, you know, the Klamath tribal homeland.
You left retirement to come back to work for Ombudot?
That's correct. I originally retired in 2009 after 30 years with the federal government. At that time, I thought that there was had been sufficient restoration work completed in the basin to see a turnaround in the status of the Chuam and Koptu. However, as I observed during the subsequent years, that the fish continued to decline. And so I wanted to get back in the game and see if I could help move the needle and try to get the fish on the road to recovery. The other thing that encouraged me was there was a lot more attention on the Klamath Basin with the Klamath Dam removals and the return of the salmon, and I wanted to be a part of that process. And, you know, I'm very pleased to have seen this year all the Klamath River dams removed and being in a position where salmon will hopefully be returning to the Klamath homeland within the next few years.
With the removal of the dams, what do you see the greatest benefits and how will it help the fish species we're talking about, salmon and Chuam and Koptu?
So with the return of the salmon, of course, they were a very important keystone species in the Upper Klamath Basin and, you know, provided important subsistence fishing for tribal members. You know, they, you know, helped provide a balance in the aquatic ecosystems with the other native species, including the Chuam and Koptu. You know, they were able to help kind of keep the balance of, you know, the various native fish species so that there was healthy numbers of, you know, both salmon, Chuam, Koptu, and other native fishes. The Klamath Basin is kind of unique in that there's a number of very unique endemic species of fish, which is pretty unique in the western United States with the variety of fish species that live here.
In the Ombudot Department, you've seen it grow over your time. Where are we at now from where we started?
When I first started in 2017, we had 15 employees, and over the last few years, due to the support of you know, grants from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Fish and Wildlife Service, and the generous support of Senator Jeff Merkley, you know, there's been a lot of support for our program and allowing the tribe to be actively involved in restoring the health of the system. We currently have 35 employees, two-thirds of which are Klamath tribal members. So I'm really pleased to see such a high number of local Klamath people that will guide, you know, the restoration and recovery of the aquatic resources in the tribe's homeland in the near future.
And as you leave and we await a new director for Ombudot, what's your advice to them? What are some notes you would leave that you would want him or her to understand going forward?
Some of the key points is that it's important to try to encourage employment of tribal people to, you know, to take the lead and to participate in the protection, restoration, and enhancement of the Klamath ecosystem. In the past, we just hired, like, you know, college graduates, and they would come and leave within a short period of time after getting experience. But with Klamath tribal members. They, you know, they're here for life, and they're very passionate about the resources, and you know, are you know, the best people to take care of their homeland. The other you know, challenges are that in working with other agencies and NGOs on restoration, we want the tribe to be involved in kind of the planning of that restoration work. You know, the tribe only has capacity to do a certain amount of the restoration. A lot of other work being done is being done by other agencies. And so what we've been trying to encourage is through our restoration policy is to have those entities contact the tribe and for to consult on their projects to make sure that they're consistent with Klamath tribal ecological knowledge, local expertise, and make sure the projects are done correctly.
You've sent me a bunch of photos of your past work. You collected quite a bit. There's one of you standing at Cannon Beach, it looks like, scuba diving?
Yeah. So that is actually from Pyramid Lake, Nevada.
Oh, sorry. It's way off from that.
Yeah. So that was during my early career when I was working on the kiwi and the haunt cutthroat trout in Nevada.
And then you had a picture holding a sturgeon, which was the largest sturgeon I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was a very unexpected situation to capture a large sturgeon in the irrigation canal in Klamath Falls, which had been planted as a small fish, you know, in the 1950s. And this was in the early 90s, and it was like 10 feet long, about 200 pounds.
I'm not sure if people realize there's a sturgeon population here. They are a native species, correct?
Not for the Klamath Basin. Well, they are, they're native to the lower Klamath, a green sturgeon, but the white sturgeon, which is what was in that picture, was introduced from the Columbia River Basin. And there's only a small number of individuals still alive after a stocking that occurred in the 1950s, but occasionally one of the research agencies will run across one in their nets, you know, sampling in the lake.
You said the green sturgeon is native down in the lower.
Yeah, it's in the lower. It's a riverine species that lives in the lower Klamath River.
And are we talking still part of Oregon there into California?
So, you know, the Klamath River originates in California, you know, at the mouth. So the sturgeon migrate up, you know, maybe 50 miles or so up the Klamath River to spawn for their life history.
Were they a native species? Were they a species the native tribes fed
on? The sturgeon is an important species for... primarily for the tribes that live along the Klamath River.
Mm. What other species are out there that we should know about and be concerned or are a part of the tradition of the tribes?
In the upper Klamath, the other species that are critical to the ecosystem include red band trout, which have, they are a species that lives both in the streams and upper Klamath Lake and can get quite large. They have seen a decline due to the overall degradation of habitat in the basin. We also have what's a threatened species called a bull trout, and they live in cold streams in the headwater tributaries in the upper basin, and they've been difficulties due to degradation of the forests and climate change, etc. But there's a lot of work being done to try to bring that species back to a healthy level. one of the issues that is really challenging for us is climate change. And just in the last 30 years, we've seen a significant change in the climatic conditions in the basin, which is a major challenge for ecosystem recovery, improving the health of Klamath Lake, et cetera, because we have less precipitation, less snow, and warmer temperatures, which all are challenges to maintain healthy, species and conditions in the environment for these species.
Kind of at a tipping point.
Correct. Yeah. It's the other thing that we've seen is with that climate change, we're seeing these catastrophic fires like the Bootleg fire a couple years ago that did a major destruction of forest lands in the headwaters of the Upper Klamath Basin. And, that makes it a real challenge to restore the health of the system when you have those huge fires.
There's a lot going on out there in this ecosystem, and a lot of it isn't good right now. But we're working to improve and restore.
Right.
But the challenges for humans right now to reverse the effects of past mistakes while dealing with climate change. If you're a betting man, what are our chances? I mean, where are we headed? Is it optimistic in your opinion? Is it futile? I mean, is it just too overwhelming to bring this ecosystem back to even close to what it used to be in its long history of the area?
I'm very optimistic in the long term that the health of the ecosystem can be restored, primarily because of the commitment and the presence of the Klamath tribes here in the basin and their determination to make this into a healthy, vibrant ecosystem. There's a lot of collaboration and support for restoration now with the dam removal and the favorable administration providing economic support for restoration work, greater involvement of the tribe in leading restoration. I'm also excited about the tribe acquiring additional properties. In the last couple of years, we've acquired some big ranches and have done restoration work there, and hopefully that will continue into the future. So I'm optimistic. As I mentioned previously, the Chuam and Koptu are actually quite resilient in their ability to survive with their long longevity and high reproductive capacity. Currently we're using hatcheries to provide the short-term protection to keep them going until we can restore the health of the system to where they're self-sustaining. But as I saw in the early 90s, they can rebound very quickly. So I'm optimistic that will happen with all the efforts that are underway in the basin. You know, the basin is not highly populated as in other areas. So I think it's something that can be fixed with the appropriate level of interest and support and work to accomplish that restoration work.
Water is a big point of your work as well. How irrigation has used it, how we've tried to keep lake levels higher.
Yeah.
What about water? What do you say about that?
So with the water, that has been a challenge. We see that the water supply has decreased in the last 20 years. You know, there's been a level of development in the basin that was based on periods of time when there was more water available. So what we need to see is more sustainable water management in the basin, which will require activities like water conservation within the irrigation project, potentially changing cropping patterns, downsizing the project to be sustainable. We just don't have the amount of water that is needed to meet all the needs of, you know, the current uses of the water for fisheries, for agriculture, for refuges, for salmon. So we need to make those hard decisions and find that balance in the use of the water.
Very good. Well, we covered a little bit of your life and history of work. Do you have anything you want to add in your closing here?
I just wanted to pay my respects to the late tribal leaders that I knew that fought to protect treaty resources, including former Chairman Chuck Kimball, Elwood Miller, Rayson Tupper, and Lloyd Hall. I wanted to bring up Lloyd because he recently passed, and he, at 70 years old, became a member of the Ombudsman Department restoration team and was working on stream restoration projects in the Klamath area. So I really want to pay my respects to them. And, you know, they helped guide the way to building the tribe's natural resource program to where it is today, the Ombudsman Department, Natural Resource Department, with over 60 employees working on these natural resource issues.
Very good. Your last week as the director of the Ombudsman Department, then it's retirement, relaxation. Thank you for joining me today, and best of luck in your retirement, and enjoy the rest of your life.
Thank you, Ken. It's been a pleasure.
Mark Buettner today on the Klamath Tribes podcast. I'm Ken Smith. We will talk again.